You are tuned to High Plains Public Radio. Thank you so much for spending your morning with us. This is Jenny Anzarello. I'm live in the studio. I have had a lot of stuff on my mind, as I'm sure you have as well. So many things been going on. The election's coming up. We've got a lot that we've been thinking about and hearing about on the news. So I wanted to go ahead and have Malin Huntley, the Potter County Elections Administrator here in Amarillo, Texas, a real live election board employee, to come in and just talk a little bit about what it's been like. What's the temperature? What are some things that we should be thinking about? What are some things that we should be acting on? And just general, put it at the front of your mind. We've got an election coming up. And if you would like to be a part of that election, you need to make sure you're registered. You need to be thinking about that. And you need to reach out to your local election boards to get all of your questions answered. So, Malin, thank you so much for joining us today in the studio on High Plains Morning.
Thank you for having me.
First and foremost, how you hanging in there? I'm sure it's a little stressful for you.
It is. It's like Monday every day. So it's all great.
Well, it's been like that at High Plains Public Radio, too. I think that's probably been like that at a lot of places. So, hey, we're all in it together. We've got an election day coming up fewer than 2 months away, Tuesday, November 3rd. That's right, Tuesday, November 3rd. I wanted to help spread the word across the High Plains. We do, of course, have five states. Elections are extremely local. So a lot of the information we're going to get from you about how things are going are going to be specific to Potter County, which is one of the counties that kind of bisects Amarillo area. But we've been hearing a lot about deadlines, registration, mail-in ballots, absentee ballots. Are those different? Are those the same? So I just wanted to check in with you and find out, what are some of the things people have been asking you? What are some of the things people have been concerned about the election coming up?
We answer the phone every day, and people are concerned. Granted, because of something that they've been hearing on the news. And the one thing that we want everybody to know is you can take a deep breath and take it down a couple of notches, because a lot of things that people are worrying about aren't really worth spending a lot of time worrying on.
Yeah.
One of the big things coming up is going to be the last day to register to vote. And that is October the 5th in Texas. It changes. It varies by state. And when we say register to vote, you don't have to register to vote for every election. You just have to have updated your address, those kinds of things. So if you haven't moved, if you voted in July, you don't have to re-register. You're still registered, which is kind of an important thing. But in Texas, if you change counties, you do re-register. So moving from Potter County to Randall County, you may have just moved a block, but it's the same as if you move from El Paso to Amarillo.
Got it. And that's good to know that, you know, if you do have that change of address, that would be something worth checking. Mm-hmm. I will put all of the registration dates for all of the five states of HPPR's listening area. Everything will be up on hppr.org. I'll do a big mass post, make it a one-stop shop. But it sounds like Texas, the 5th of October is the last day to register to vote. So really, that tells me everyone should be checking their registration right away.
Yes. And one great place to go is to voteTexas.gov, because there's right on the homepage, it'll say, am I registered? So you can go there, you can put in your information. And first of all, you'll see if you're registered, but you'll also see at what address you're registered.
That's good to know.
Mm-hmm.
Local election boards, the websites for those are really the ones that have the most up-to-date and accurate information. And because we have five states here, so many different counties, I believe we have 78, 79 counties in our listener region, they would definitely need to want to go to their local election board. But if you're in Texas, all of the counties, voteTexas.gov.
Yes.
Wonderful. Let's talk a little bit about ballots. We've been hearing a lot about absentee ballots, mail-in ballots. Every state is different.
Yes, every state has different rules as to whether everyone gets a ballot, everyone can get a ballot, or whether you have to qualify. So in Texas, you do have to qualify to receive a ballot by mail.
And what are those qualifications?
The qualifications are, you must be age 65 or older as of election day, or disabled, or you're going to be out of the county during the entire voting period. A lot of times that's students. Or you're confined to jail, but you still have your voting rights.
Okay, and so that's how you can be eligible for the mail-in ballot. Now, I've heard that some people have been, you know, there was some news about, oh, I'm definitely disabled because I have a crippling fear of getting COVID, and I want to place my vote. And that was decided, no, that does not qualify. However.
Yeah. Okay, so what happened was Texas Attorney General said fear of contracting COVID is not a disability under the definition as he interpreted it in Texas code. However, if you have a pre-existing condition, something that makes you predisposed to be more likely to get COVID, that does qualify.
Okay. So I'm thinking what that would have to be, something respiratory, something, I have shortness of breath, I have asthma, I have COPD. Mm-hmm.
Yes, or you might have cancer, and so you're more likely your immune system is mm-hmm. compromised, things like that. But think about the CDC's website, mm-hmm. because there's some resources there. Those are qualifying reasons to claim a disability.
So I'll go ahead and link to that as well. Now, obviously, Colorado has all mail-in voting, and there are some rules about absentee ballots in Kansas, but it looks like Nebraska, Oklahoma, that's a no-excuse state, so you don't have to give us a reason. You can request that absentee ballot. So folks in Nebraska and Oklahoma, it looks like you're good to go. Colorado, you're going to be all mail-in anyway. So it's quite a disparate thing here across the High Plains.
One thing that's interesting, and one of the questions we get all the time is my ballot going to count? When are ballots going out? You know, what should I do? And so what we're telling everyone is this is one of those times that you need to act now. Don't put it off. If you know you want to vote by mail, apply now. Then once the ballot is received, if you know who you want to vote for, go ahead and vote it and mail it. Do not wait till the last minute. While we have, you know, tons of faith in our United States Postal Service, there is no reason to wait till the last minute.
Most people who have had a little bit of anxiety about that, I think they have recognized, like, hey, the sooner I do this, if I do this right away, I'm not going to have to worry about it not getting counted.
Yes, that's correct. The interesting thing about election mail is there's actually an indicia on election mail that says that's what it is. And so when the U.S. Postal Service sees that, it means we have to take care of this today. We don't stick it on a shelf. It gets a priority.
Okay, now speaking of the ballots, do we have like a date that they're normally mailed?
Well, they must go out within 30 days. And we typically do not disclose the date that we're going to drop them in the mail. And that's just for security reasons.
Say I got my ballot. I have it. I've sent it back. We've been hearing a lot of, oh, someone's going to take your ballot. Is it going to be secure? Is it going to be safe? Mm-hmm. Can I give you a call and say, hey, I just want to make sure you got it and that this is what it says?
You can call your local elections office and find out if they received your ballot. You know, we are required to send some information to the state. They put it out there, and you can look and see if your name is up there as your ballot is received. When we receive it, they go into a vault. So once they get to our office, they are locked up until what we call the early voting ballot board has the chance to look them over and make sure that everything is fine on that. What the ballot board's doing is they're making sure that the signature that is on your application matches the signature on your carrier envelope. So that's one of the ways that we ensure that the person who applied to vote this ballot is indeed the person that voted that ballot.
So it sounds, this stuff is getting manually checked by human beings.
In Texas, it is. Yes.
Wonderful. What about people wanting to vote twice, three times, four times from beyond the grave?
Yes, I strongly do not recommend that. And the good news is we really don't have an abundance of dead people who vote. In all seriousness, that is such a low percent. And so you hear that there's going to be fraud and things like that. In Texas, since 2004, there's been less than 500 cases of true voter fraud that have been prosecuted. So with 254 counties, and you throw in everyone in your area, with every county in the United States having a different system and a different way of doing things, widespread voter fraud is hard to do. Mm-hmm. You will get caught. Can it happen? Yes. It can happen in small pockets, but not in large amounts.
As far as someone comes in and they're not sure if they voted, but then they get there and it says that they did. I've heard of that happening before, where someone sent in a mail-in ballot and they go to the polls and it shows up, hey, you've already voted.
Yes. Yes. And so we are able to tell them, yes, we received your ballot. This is when it is, if they still think they did not do it. And sometimes that does happen, that somebody just forgets that they voted. Then we allow them to vote a provisional ballot, because that gives us some time to research it, mm-hmm. because we want everybody's vote to count. And in the event there was a mistake made, we are just fine with finding it, you know, double checking and making sure.
Let's talk for a minute about the polls, because we've had a lot of coverage of what's going to be happening. The polling places, are they going to be spaced out enough? Are they going to have enough staff? A lot of the people that are the people who staff the polling places are usually older, retired civil servants that are coming forward to do that. And that might not be the safest option. Can we talk a little bit about, as far as Potter County is concerned, what's going on with the situation with polling places, staffing, and safety and security there?
Certainly. One thing, Potter County, as well as most of the counties in Texas, we're definitely going in deep with PPE. There's a federal grant that allows for that. And so you're going to see plastic shields. You're going to see, and especially in Potter, our workers will be wearing masks. There's a ton of alcohol, not the kind you drink, but alcohol for cleaning the screens. They will be wiped down between voters. We're cleaning our stylus that you would sign the poll pad with. I mean, every angle, wiping off doors, everything that you can think of, we are trying to take a step to make it as safe as it possibly can be. We are separating our election equipment by 6 feet. So as you go in there, please take the time, look, and you'll see that there's a lot of efforts that are being made. When you go to mark your voting equipment, the touch screen for the actual voting thing, we can use a Q-tip on. So you'll be given a Q-tip. It's yours. You can take it with you. We're not going to give it to anyone else.
There's so many different polling places that are going to be represented across the listener region of people that are tuned in right now. Mm-hmm. But I know that one thing is just universal. You're always going to have first-time voters. You're always going to have people mm-hmm. who really haven't done it before. I had an intern last round where she had never voted. And I said, well, let's see if you're registered. Let's see. Well, she was. And she was super excited. She got to vote her first time. Mm-hmm. But we gave her this little primer. Okay, when you go in, here's what to expect. This is what will happen. And she said she was so grateful to have some kind of a footprint of how things should go. Now, for people who don't necessarily vote often, and maybe this is their first election, could you offer a little bit of a voter etiquette, given that we have got a pandemic going right now?
Yes. Several things. In terms of pandemic, as a voter, take your safety into your own hands. Wear your mask. And that is just a strong recommendation. If you're concerned, wear your gloves. Do all the things that you know to do to protect yourself. And it will be highly respected in the polling sites. If you haven't voted in a while, there's some things that you may not remember or may not be aware of. One of them is just the idea of electioneering. And so part of the manners or the etiquette when you go into a site, it is prohibited by law to electioneer within 100 feet of a poll.
And what is electioneer for people who don't know?
It's basically to do something for or against a candidate, party, or measure.
Okay, so just to express, hey, this is where I'm at.
Right. And that would include, it's not just your words. It could be a ball cap you're wearing or a T-shirt or a button. Or if your mask has a candidate's name on it, you will be asked to not wear those within 100 feet of the polls. It also means you don't turn to the person 6 feet behind you in line and say, hey, I'm voting for so-and-so and you should too. That's totally not acceptable and it's actually a chargeable offense.
Wow. And I know that they always ask you to turn your cell phones off when you get in there. And, mm-hmm. you know, people in the parking lot taking pictures of their selfies with their I voted sticker. That is also considered, do that outside. That has to be 100 feet from the polling place.
Absolutely. It's one of the challenges. We're going to have a lot of people that this may be their first election to ever vote in. And so the temptation is they push, this is my vote. The little flag comes up on the screen and they take their phones and snap a picture and put it out on social media. That is against the law. Mm-hmm. So if you want to use your camera, which we absolutely go out there, get your I voted sticker, go to the 100-foot mark and take a picture and say, I voted today and you should too.
And here I stand 100 feet from the polling place.
Exactly.
There's obviously going to be people who are beyond concerned if they have those immunosuppressed, if they have those issues with their health, pre-existing conditions, that maybe want to go ahead and not mess with the mail-in. They want to make sure that their vote is in person. And I totally understand that.
Yes.
I did not realize this, but it looks like there are curbside options at every one of the polling places in Potter County.
That is true. That's true of every place in Texas.
Nice.
And so if you feel like your health would be endangered if you were to have to walk into a polling site, you have the option to vote curbside. And so at any site, you're going to call. There should be a phone number to call, or you can call your county's election office and say, I'm outside of this building. I'm ready to vote. You know, can someone help me? And there will be a way to send someone out and help you in the comfort of your own car.
And now, as far as staffing at polling places, I personally found out that my mother-in-law said she's going to go ahead and she's going to be a part of that at her local election because she feels like there are so many much older people that she usually sees when she goes and votes. She wants to step up for that. I've decided I want to try to do that, too. Are you guys short-staffed?
We are anticipating that we're going to be very short-staffed. On election day for the runoff, we lost about 15% of our workers that day. And it was just because they got up that morning, they had the sniffles, they had a cough, they don't know, they didn't want to take a chance. Mm-hmm. So they called us and said, what do you want us to do? And we said, we want you to stay home. So we are trying to staff deep just in case something comes up. So yes, we are looking for more election workers. This is, it is a paid gig, but it is a long day. And so, you know, we just want to advise people that it is a long day. Our ideal worker adapts to fairly simple technology, does a good job of taking instructions, and understands that when you're there to do your job. You're not there to campaign or politic in any way.
Okay, and the PotterCountyVotes.com is a way you can get to that information.
Yes.
Okay, and also Randall County, I'll go ahead and put posts up for that, as well as for the other states that will be on the hppr.org post. We have been seeing quite a bit of concerns about misinformation. This happened in the previous presidential election. There have been more posts about it and more national news stories about it. We've all been dealing with this for a very long time, and it gets a little bit exhausting.
Exactly. And so, you know, there's a lot of misinformation out about the credibility of things. And so we encourage everybody to check it out. Make sure you use really reliable sources. If you saw it on Facebook and it seems awfully sensational, there's a chance it's not true. And so, you know, just take a deep breath, take a step back, and then check some things out. We don't need to be as concerned about things as we are, because you have a whole industry of people who take their jobs very seriously. And we're on the lookout to make sure that the information that's out there is correct.
And the checks and balances, it sounds to me like the more you look into these different ways that different states do their election, you've got a lot of checks and balances there. And it's not as easy as downloading a spreadsheet and pushing click and having the next leader of the free world.
It is not. It's absolutely. There's so many redundancies in there. We have the unofficial total one night, but several days later, we do a manual hand count just to confirm that what our tabulation equipment was doing was correct. We do 3 or 4 tests before anything is tabulated to make sure that nothing has changed. You know, all of the equipment is kept in a vault, and there's only 3 people that even have access to it. So when you start looking at it and you look at all the different systems across the United States, this is a very safe system because it is so diversified.
Let's go ahead and look at Texas. You said the last day to register to vote or change your address is the 5th of October.
Yes.
Early voting, we do have an early voting option.
Yes, early voting begins October the 13th. It ends on October the 30th. There's a good number of days in there. And so strongly recommend that people vote early rather than wait until the very last day. It's just the lines will be shorter. It'll be easier for you to get in and out. Pick a site that's near your home. You don't have to have an excuse to vote early.
And will there be curbside available for the early voting?
Absolutely.
Wonderful. Okay, well, I think this has hopefully put voting in the forefront of everyone's minds across all 5 states of the High Plains. Like I said, I will get the quick links, all this information up of where you can get to your local state election boards. And of course, you could follow those to get to your local county elections. Vote.gov is a good option overall. They do a really good job of pointing you and linking you straight to that state.
I did want to say one more thing.
Oh, sure.
When we're talking about voter registration, Texas does not have online voter registration. So if you go into a site and you think, oh, I just submitted it and there it is, you're not going to be registered. In Texas, you have to print it out and sign it and mail it to us.
And as far as the DMVs, do they still have the way to register when you sign up for your driver's license?
Yes, they do. And so that's always a great way to go.
So if you think that you online registered, you did not in Texas.
chances are you didn't.
You didn't. All right. That is very good to know, actually. If somebody wanted to reach out to you, if they're like, I have a very oddly specific question and I want Malin to answer it, how can they get in touch?
They can call our office at 806-379-2299, or they can send us an email, which would be vote@mypottercounty.com.
Okay, that's 806-379-2299, or just send a quick note to vote@mypottercounty.com. Malin, you got a long couple of months coming up, and I thank you so much for encouraging everyone across the High Plains to think about voting, think about the upcoming election, and make sure that all of their ducks are in a row.
Thank you for having us. Thank you for having me.